To John chapter 21, on page 1142, we're going to begin reading at verse 7. John chapter 20, chapter 21 rather, and verse 7. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. And the Lord has blessed those verses to us. And as Adrian comes, let's just pray for him. Father, we pray for Adrian now. We pray that you would clear his mind and help him to hear you speak to him and through him, and that you would bless us with the things that he has to say to us, as we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Morning. Jesus had been with them for 3 years. He told them what would happen to him. And yet, they didn't believe it. Jesus referred to himself as the Son of Man. The Hebrew is Ben Adam. It means human being. Person. It was his preferred form of address when referring to himself. I've given myself a reference here where it came from, believe it or not. Going into Daniel. Expected. There we go. Looking at page 944. Yep. Daniel 7, verses 13 and 14. And this is, they think, where Jesus got the reference from. "In my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away. And his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed." So forget Mr. Trump and Mr. Putin. We're here for a little while longer. Jesus hasn't said he's coming back yet. Jesus didn't use the title Son of Man to distinguish his humanity from his deity. But he did use it to define himself as Messiah, but on his terms. Jesus was resurrected. He was first seen by Mary Magdalene in the garden on Sunday morning. She and two other women then went to tell the disciples. They were hiding from the authorities in case of retribution. She went to tell the disciples that she had seen him walking about, that she had spoken with him, that she had recognized him by his voice. They didn't believe her. Even though Mary insisted that she got it right. She did have to tell them that she wasn't allowed to touch him. That, we think, was because he hadn't ascended to the Father, and he therefore was not complied with the required purification rites necessary for him to become the high priest. Not his particular concern, shall we say. He could become high priest because of who he was, but he was doing it by the rules and laws that were laid down for his people, so that in their eyes he would also be high priest. Two of the disciples, Peter and John, possibly remembering that Jesus had told them he was going to arise on the third day, decided to run down to the tomb to have a look. They came away somewhat puzzled. The tomb was empty. It didn't look as if it had been robbed, although tomb robbing was a very popular thing in those days. But the fact that the wrapping clothes for the corpse were still there, neatly folded, on the shelf where he would have been put, spoke against grave robbing. That same day, two disciples on their way to Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem, were talking. They were joined by a stranger who appeared not to have heard of the happenings in Jerusalem of which they were talking. So they explained that Jesus, the prophet, miracle worker, and teacher, who they had thought was going to deliver Israel from the Romans, had been crucified by the Romans, handed over by their own people their own leaders and lied about. They were telling Jesus that it happened 3 days ago, and that some women from their group had been at his tomb early that morning and came back with an amazing story. They said his body was missing, and they'd seen angels who told them Jesus is alive. Jesus said, "Oh, you foolish people, did I not tell you this would happen?" And he proceeded to tell them, reading the scriptures, the Old Testament as we know, but pointed to him. What would be and the salvation he would bring. By this time they were pretty near the end of their journey, and so they said to him, "Look, why not stay with us tonight?" And he said he was going on, and they said, "Well, no, stay with us and eat." Still didn't know who he was. When the food came, he took the bread and he blessed it. Then he broke it. And that was when they recognized. And at that moment, he disappeared. Within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem to tell the rest of the disciples and the followers what had occurred. When they found them, there were 11 disciples and a lot of those others who had gathered together behind locked doors. And they too told them that the Lord is risen and had appeared. Jesus also appeared to Peter. But they were all together while the two of the road, from the two of the Emmaus road, while the two were there telling their story, Jesus appeared in the room. Were frightened. They thought they were seeing a ghost. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Touch me, feel my wounds. Ghosts don't have bodies. I'm not a ghost. Look at my hands, look at my feet." And then he asked them for something to eat. They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he ate it in front of them. And the appearance to Peter is not in any of the Gospels, but it is confirmed by Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 5, where he talks about the conversation he'd had with Peter. So Jesus reminded them when he was in the upper room with them, "I told you what would happen to me. I pointed out everything that was written about me. And then he opened their minds to understand of the scriptures. And Thomas wasn't with them. And when they told Thomas, he refused to believe. He had to feel the wounds himself. I wonder how many of us that would apply to. Do we need to see and feel his wounds before we believe? Eight days later, they were in the room again. Thomas was with them. And Jesus appeared again. We all know what he said to Thomas. But he said also, those who believe without touching and seeing are more blessed than you will be. Jesus also appeared on the shores of Galilee, as we've just read. After a fruitless night fishing, he told them to cast their net the other side of the boat. He spent time with them. He ate with them. And he restored Peter in his faith and in his position. In 1 Corinthians 15:6, Paul references an appearance before 500 of his followers by Jesus. There is also a record of Jesus' ascension in Luke 24. Right at the end. Jesus was near Bethany, near the Mount of Olives. And he took them up there and prayed with them. While he was praying with them, he was lifted up in a cloud. As he prayed to bless them, he lifted his hands and he went. He disappeared into the clouds. And that would appear to be the appearance in front of the 500, because there is no reference to how many people were there, but it was definitely his ascension. The disciples then went back to Jerusalem and spent their time in the temple praising him. So think about the difference from just after crucifixion, when they were frightened for their lives, to less than a month later. They're in the temple, showing off, doing what they do best. Praising the Lord in his home. Did Jesus really arise? Well, we think about it, none of his disciples lived and died very comfortably. Most of them were torn apart in one way or another. And if you think of the followers since then, particularly in Africa, Nigeria, Sudan, Mozambique, South Africa, People have been murdered, burned, tortured, and killed just for his name's sake. There's still people following. But if you go back to the disciples, why would they follow somebody and suffer the way they did? But they didn't believe it. And they were there. They saw him. They know what happened to him. But they couldn't be persuaded that he wasn't who he said he was. And even today, those of faith facing all sorts of persecution. Don't renounce his name. Don't fail to follow him. And when persecuted, get stronger. So we have a Lord who has conquered everything he's faced and will be with us when we face our own trials.